On a recent spring day on the University of Pennsylvania's campus, hundreds of Wharton School graduates filed into the palestra for commencement. Greeting them were a handful of climate activists with a black and red banner that read, TIAA, divest. Divest from climate destruction.
Love this.
Oh, yeah.
Wharton's commencement speaker this year was Thucinda Brown Duckett, CEO of the retirement fund TIAA.
Grab a flyer.
As family and friends streamed into commencement, the climate activists handed out flowers.
If you get a flyer, I'll give you the flower.
Along with information about the retirement fund's fossil fuel investments.
Like information about today's speaker?
TIAA manages more than $1 trillion in assets and began serving teachers a century ago. It provides retirement accounts to nonprofit workers and bills itself as socially conscious. But climate activists point to $78 billion of fossil fuel investments.
Most people that we talk to are shocked when they find out that TIAA is not even on a par with their peers. They're lagging behind their peers in terms of their fossil fuel exposure.
Iris Bloom is an organizer with TIAA Divest. Bloom says a large part of their strategy today is education because, she says, people talk.
Wharton MBAs, a lot of them are oriented to climate solutions. These are not the people that are going to be leading us further into disaster. So we want people to pressure TIAA with a big unified voice, pass resolutions, talk about it. Talk to their financial advisor, talk to their TIAA advisor, talk to their Vanguard advisor.
Bloom's strategy is to make it friendly and fun. She got 400 informational sheets into the hands of some of the wealthiest and influential people in the world. But will any of this actually lead TIAA to divest from fossil fuels? A spokesman for TIAA says it would rather engage with the companies it invests in to reach climate goals than divest from them. Bloom says the divestment movement models itself after the anti-apartheid movement. The pressure campaign in the 1980s led universities and companies to pull their money out of South Africa.
So we won. The anti-apartheid struggle won. And that is very motivating.
TIAA is not the only retirement fund feeling the pressure. For more than 2 years, climate activists under the umbrella Vanguard SOS have picketed, protested, blocked traffic, and sang at the sprawling suburban Philadelphia corporate headquarters of Vanguard, the second largest asset fund manager in the world. Again, they want Vanguard to use its influence and force companies it's invested in to divest. 85-year-old Quaker activist George Lakey recently sat in a chair helping to block a main entrance while holding a banner that read, Vanguard invests in climate destruction.
I've got six great-grandchildren who are facing a world of adulthood that would be just full of disasters, environmental disasters, because of the work that Vanguard is doing.
But so far, Vanguard hasn't budged. In fact, when it comes to voting in favor of climate resolutions, analysts say Vanguard lags behind its peers, BlackRock and State Street. So Vanguard SOS has shifted its strategy to reaching Vanguard employees through TV ads in Chester County.
Investing with Vanguard helped us seed our retirement.
They're hoping to convince workers to put internal pressure on Vanguard.
If it's bad for the environment, it's bad for your retirement.
Vanguard manages $8 trillion in investments for about 30 million individual or retail customers. That means people like teachers, nurses, bus drivers, and journalists like me. Of all the asset managers in the world, Vanguard maintains one of the largest investments in fossil fuels, including $300 billion in coal. And while Vanguard declined an interview, it says it is committed to limiting climate risk for its investors.
These aren't easy choices. It's hard to make money in the financial markets.
Vitold Henisch is a professor at Wharton who studies environment, social, and corporate governance. He says while some people want to win-win, make money and fix climate change, most really just want to make money. For asset managers making decisions about how to invest individual retirement accounts, they're hedging their bets.
Because you could be exposing your investors to risk by holding ExxonMobil. You could be exposing your investors to risk by not holding ExxonMobil.
Hennich says there's little evidence that divestment strategies work because there's always someone else who will invest in oil and gas. He says to make change in the financial sector, there needs to be more information that puts a dollar amount on things like health impacts from burning coal or costs of sea level rise from melting glaciers, and have a system where the corporations pay those costs. And in fact, it may be that money moves the needle in the end. A number of groups are working within the system to change investment strategy using proxy voting. They offer up climate resolutions, seeking to have the corporation cut their ties with fossil fuels or invest more in renewable energy. Kristen Snow Spaulding is vice president of the Investor Network at Ceres.
What they tell me is, we don't do this because we are thinking about something altruistic. We are doing this because it's critical to the bottom line in the long term.
In other words, investing in fossil fuels will be bad for business. After all those increasingly intense fires, floods, and heat waves are costly. Ceres has 220 institutional investors that together manage $60 trillion in assets. So I asked Snow Spaulding, do these climate resolutions actually do anything? She says it's an important way to start a conversation and send a message.
They're more robust between the investors and the companies, and we're seeing more action.
About $40 trillion have moved out of fossil fuels so far. That's according to the Global Divestment Database.
Thank you. We're urging her to divest.
Back at the Wharton graduation, Iris Bloom says she's optimistic, in part because dollars are at stake.
You know, I care about life and health, but even in terms of finances, the climate crisis is unaffordable, and everybody knows it.
From WHYY's Climate Desk, I'm Susan Phillips.